Hey parents, this is a little ears warning. Jesus is the most radical redeemer and restorer, but this podcast may contain some topics which are not appropriate for little ears. So if there are little ears around, you might want to pop in some headphones or hit the pause button right now and pick it up at another time. Jesus be glorified through these testimonies. Welcome everybody to Win Our World podcast series. And over the next 4 weeks as a global church, we're going to be looking at what it is to move from the manifest presence of God into the miraculous and win our world for Jesus. And we're going to have a variety of people join us as guests on this podcast from our church community. We're going to hear about how they met Jesus, and then we're going to hear about how they, in their very real, normal, ordinary, and often very full lives, are winning their world for Jesus. Guys, it is our prayer that you and me would be encouraged, a little bit provoked, and equipped to share Jesus and to win our world for Him. All right, guys, let's jump right in. Today, we have some special guests. We have a couple, a mama and a dad joining us today, and we have Phil and Barb Caruana. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for the privilege.
Yeah, it's such a joy. I know you guys from Healing Rooms. You serve on Healing Rooms team, but you do a lot in the life of our church, but we might get to a little bit later. And I was just saying to you guys at the start, when I'm thinking about people who have lived their life in a way, I feel the presence of God, but like lived their life in a way that has the gospel central to everything they do, the way that you have parented your children, the way that you have chosen a living and your work is all with the gospel. Like, you cannot know you guys and not see the gospel central to your lives. And that is such a beautiful example for us. And I am very encouraged by your life and the way that you live it truly. I know well your daughter, and so I can see the fruits of your life lived as well as a lot of other things. But we're going to hear a little bit from you guys, and I'm excited because I know a little bit, but I don't know your full testimony. So we're going to start at the very beginning, and we're going to just start with, like, how did you meet Jesus? Do you want to go first, Barb?
Yeah, I'll go first.
Yes, go.
I'll get this out.
Yeah.
My story starts in South Korea, which is where my parents were living with older brother.
Uh-huh.
They went as missionaries. Mm-hmm. Dad was a business manager in Presbyterian mission. And so I was born there. That was my beginning.
Wow.
My concept of the gospel was loving people and serving people.
Beautiful.
Good works.
Yeah.
I didn't actually really come to faith for myself until I came to university.
Yeah.
Somewhere along the way, I thought I had to earn my salvation.
Yeah.
I remember being caught up in trying to be good and striving, you know, there was a bit of shame and guilt and all that sort of stuff. But when I went to university, I'd made a deal with God. If you can help me get through high school and get into uni, then I'll make time for you. So I
got
which, you know, sounds a bit precocious now, but
we make deals with God all the time.
That was my deal with God. So I thought, I better come good. I better go, you know, seek Him out. And he found me, really, and showed me that it's not about all my good works and my efforts and my striving. It was about faith and grace. And so I actually got saved through Students for Christ outreach at Melbourne University.
Wow. And now your daughter is running like a university's ministry, which is so awesome, in that university.
Yes. And the person that did Bible studies with me, foundational Bible studies, was from this church.
Get out.
Yeah. So it's crazy. I sort of forgot about that until we started coming here.
Yep.
And then it was like, hey, hold on, this has come full circle.
Wow. That really is full circle.
Yeah.
Okay. So you felt like you got to university and then you're like, okay, God, well, I've been promising you, like, if you get me through high school, and you get me to university, that I'll give you some time.
Yep.
So what did that look like? You just signed up to do like Bible study?
I thought, well, I was attending Lincoln Institute. I only had a small Christian union, so I went along there. But then we were also doing classes up at Melbourne Uni. So I saw that there was an outreach, went to a film, and something in that touched my heart. And you know, when I sat down with someone who followed, I filled in a card, someone followed me up, and and they showed me in the scriptures that, you know, you can become a child of God. And that was the first time I realized that I could become a child of God.
Wow.
Before that, I was just striving to be something.
Be good.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's my...
That's amazing.
That's my story in brief.
That's so good. Okay, we're going to tease out maybe a little bit more about that in a minute. But okay. Phil, I want to hear from you. And then I want to hear how your paths crossed. I love okay. a good romance story.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I like to think I've got 2,000 years of Christian heritage.
Okay.
My parents come from Malta.
Yes. Yes. So
that's where Paul was shipwrecked.
Yes.
Anyway, so I grew up a good Catholic boy.
Okay.
And I thought I was really good.
Yeah.
I didn't swear. I didn't do the things that most Aussies did and do. And in my early 20s, I was very introverted. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to talk to people. I would hide. Wow. People come over, I would hide. And I'm in my 20s.
Yeah.
And even going to the shop, I'd send somebody else to go, some other family member. Anyway, so I was in my 20s, early 20s, and my best friend was my brother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a typical Aussie. He liked to – he was searching. He was always searching for some excitement. And so I would hang around with him. And so he'd come and say, Phil, what are we going to do this weekend?
Yep.
How about we build a boat? So we'd build a boat, we'd go out, Port Phillip Bay, and we'd fish.
Oh my gosh, as you do.
And then, that would last a few months, and then it would get tired of that. And then say, how about we play a sport? Let's play squash. And then next 6 months of squash. Anyway, this went on for 6 years.
Wow.
And I was like just going along for the ride because he was my only friend.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to work one day. And this other worker grabbed him and said, you need Jesus.
Wowzers. That's an evangelism. that's a way to make interesting evangelism talk.
And it really shook him.
Wow.
Because he'd have a few drinks and he would say, oh, I think I need Jesus.
Wow.
And I would say, yeah, you do. You do need Jesus, because he was pretty rough.
Yeah.
Anyway... I think he went to a few churches, but he decided it wasn't for him.
Okay.
And he went downhill. I've never seen anyone just go downhill so quick.
Wow.
He just went off the cliff. Like he walked out on my sister with two babies.
Wow.
And that scared the living, it scared hell out of me.
Yeah, wow.
I'd go to visit him and he's just sitting there grumpy. And what's wrong with Bill? Like, what's wrong? And my sister says, I think he's just working too hard.
Mm.
Anyway, we go the following weekend, he's gone. He's walked out on my sister. He's grown a beard. He's become a bikie. And he started taking drugs. And they found him dead 6 years later.
Wow.
Anyway, that scared me to a point where I said, God...
Wow.
I believe in you. I know you're real, but I'm missing something.
Wow.
What am I missing?
Wow.
And I just had this desire. I got to get close to God. I don't want to end up like that. That scares me so much. Yeah. So I went to church, went to Catholic church like we always do. Mm. All my life went to Catholic church. Mm-hmm. And the priest said, we're about to have Lent before Easter.
Yes.
And, we're going to do this, don't have sweets.
Yes.
Don't eat meat on Fridays.
Yeah.
And I've heard him say that so many times. But this time it was like, that's stupid. That's not a sacrifice.
Wow.
If I'm gonna fast, I'm going to fast.
Wow.
So I decided to fast one day a week, just have water one day a week.
Wow.
And so I began to fast.
Wow.
And I had no idea it's in the Bible.
Wow. Get out.
My mum would say, would you read the Bible? You should read the Bible. And I didn't like reading at all. Mm-hmm. I hardly read at all. And so I began to fast. And so every Monday or whatever, or Friday or whatever, I fast. So this went on for a few months. And... one Sunday morning, I woke up at 5 in the morning, and this American preacher comes on the TV, and he starts preaching, And when he starts preaching, I've heard him before, but this time it was like my heart was just going bang, bang, bang. My head's going, I don't know, what is he talking about?
Wow.
My head could, I did not understand what he was talking about. Mm-hmm. But my heart was going bang, 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 bang. And something's going excited. I'm getting all excited inside, but I couldn't understand what was happening. So God got my heart before he got my head.
Yes. Yes, yes. I can testify to that. Yes, yes.
And so so I continue the fast, and I could not wait to listen to this guy the following week. Wow. And I'm thinking, what is he saying? What is he saying? I pray with him at the end. You know, he'd have a salvation prayer, and I'd pray with him. But he's doing something to me, but I don't know what he's talking about.
Wow.
His American accent. And, you know, I had no idea of scriptures and stuff.
Yes, yes, yes.
So I continued to watch him. I ordered tapes and I listened to it in the car, and I still didn't know what he's talking about.
Wow, Bill. Wow.
So this went on for another few months, and then I was by myself. I had no friends whatsoever, you know, and I just thought, what am I going to do? I'm so lonely. Maybe I'll go to a nightclub. And I'd never been to a nightclub in my life. I'd never even been, like, I didn't want to even go into a shop.
Yes.
And here I am thinking, oh, maybe I could go to a nightclub.
Wow.
So I'm driving into the city. I drove into the city. I go to, you know, the mall there. And I walk up to this nightclub. I walk up to the front door and I could hear singing and smoke and stuff. And I'm terrified because I was really introverted. So I'm terrified to go in. And I just grabbed my head and I said, God, what do you want me to do? And then this thought just pops into my head. Now, I didn't know God could speak to me.
Totally, yes.
And so this thought pops into my head. And so the thought was, go for a walk around the block.
Wow.
So I thought, oh, I'll go for a walk around the block. I might see somebody around. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah.
So I go for a walk around the block, and I'm walking around the block. As I'm walking, I look behind me, and this young guy is starting to follow me. And I'm thinking, oh no, what does this kook want? Why is he following me? Anyway, he keeps coming, and he taps me on the shoulder. I say, yeah, what do you want? He said, if you die tonight, do you know if you're going to heaven? And I said, what are you talking about? How do you know you can go to heaven? He said, you can know. I said, tell me. Wow. How do I go to heaven? Wow. He said, you've got to receive Jesus into your heart. I said, okay, let's do it.
Wow, Phil.
Straight away. Wow. And so he prayed for me.
Wow.
And another guy, there was another guy with him, he prayed for me as well. Mm-hmm. And so I prayed for Jesus to come into my heart.
Yeah.
And he did. Mm-hmm. And then he said, now we're going to pray in tongues. And I didn't know what he was talking about.
Yes.
But he said, just copy us.
Wow.
So I just went, whatever. And he says, now go home and practice. Anyway, this guy who tapped me on the shoulder, he is my brother-in-law now.
Whoa.
You probably know Sarah and Hayden.
Yes.
And
yes. Wow. Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yeah, so it's her dad. Anyway, so I got saved on the street there, and I was just so excited. Like, something happened on the inside. My head was still like, I don't know what's going on.
Trying to catch up with what's happening in your heart. Yeah, yeah.
And so I'd go home and I'd try practicing praying in tongues, and, you know, I'd go for a minute, and then I'd go for 2 minutes, then I'd go for 5 minutes, then I'd go for an hour. And, you know, all my brothers and mum and dad, what's going on in there?
Wow.
Philip's speaking in Italian or something. What's he doing in there?
Wow.
Anyway, so then on a Sunday would come, I'd go to Catholic Church, I'd go to Revival Flame, I'd go to Maranatha, it was called, because the church was in Melbourne Uni.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so the guy who led me to Christ, he said, I'll meet you in, you know, at Revival Flame. It used to be a big church just out here.
I love that.
And I said, all right, I'll meet you there. So I go to this church, and there's about, I don't know, 1,000 people in this church. And he doesn't show up. Wow. And I'm scared. And I'm just like, will I go in? Why don't I go in? What do I do? I went in and I just sat at the back of the church. And the preacher preach, and he said, now we're going to pray for the sick. Everyone stand up who's sick. And he prayed a general prayer, and a guy sitting pretty close to me just got slain in the spirit and hit the floor, like, wow. No catcher.
Yeah.
Just went bang.
Wow.
And I'm like, guy's had a heart attack.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, what is going on?
Yep.
His family's smiling.
So
and the kids
odd.
Are smiling. And I'm like,
Oh, wow. Where am I? What's going on here?
Yeah. So, anyway, and then the Melbourne Uni Church met on a Friday night, I think it was. So I went, as soon as I walked into that church, I said, this is home. This is where God wants me. And and then I would just go to church, you know, three or four churches every Sunday, three churches every Sunday.
Yeah.
And then, I was just like so excited on the inside, but my brain just did not know what was going on.
Mm.
And so, you know, I went to work. And I was excited, and I just told everyone I'm Christian, I'm born again.
Wow.
And they all just would laugh. You know, I have.
Where were you working? Like, what were you doing at the time?
I was working in a food factory.
Yep.
And I was like just like a storeman and a leading hand.
Yep.
And so
These
guys would just laugh at me. And I felt like I sort of felt bad. But then I remember going home that night and looking up the scripture in I think it's in Peter where it says, might be 4:14. Anyway, it's in there somewhere where it says, you know, on their part, they're cursing, but on your part is a blessing.
Yeah.
You know, when you stand up for God.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
So that encouraged me. And the reputation went through the workplace.
Yeah, yeah.
And so people were, you know, if any new person would start, they would say, watch out for Phil because he'll get you.
Yeah. Who talked to you about Jesus?
Yeah. But because I had this, I didn't realize, but I had a stronghold of fear.
Right.
In my life. And so, I'd go home and I'd be praying and I'd say, you know, I'd be praying in tongues and just on my knees praying and God, what do you want me to do? Look, just tell me, what do you want me to do?
Yes.
And this thought would come, go across the road and knock on the door.
Wow.
And I'm like, I can't do that.
Yeah.
I just can't do it. Maybe I'll do it next Friday. So then I'll pray and then next Friday would come and I'd be praying, God, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
He said, go across the road and knock on the door.
Wow.
I can't do it. Just can't do it.
Yeah.
So this went on for a number of weeks. And then finally, I said, God, I can't do it. And he said, can you put one foot in front of the other? I said, yeah.
Wow.
So then I put one foot in front of the other, walked across the street.
Yeah.
I knocked on the door and nobody was there. And the presence of God just fell on me.
Wow.
And it was like, well done. And I was like, wow. And then after that, the following week I'd say, God, what do you want me to do today? And he'd say, get on the push bike. I want you to go down, ride down the street, go to the shops and talk to the local kids.
Yes. Wow.
And I was still terrified.
Yeah.
But so I got on my bike, I go down the street and there's a bunch of kids just hanging around the shops. And I'd sort of slowly sort of walk up to them, terrified and not saying anything, but just sort of standing next to, getting closer and closer to these kids. And these kids will sort of look at me and say, what's this guy doing?
You know, weird.
what's this weird guy doing? And eventually they'd say, what do you want? What are you doing here? You know, I want to tell you about Jesus. And they're like, well, tell us then. So then I witnessed to them and then I end up taking them to church, take this group of guys, got them in my mini minor, traveled from the west to the east, took them to church. Rice Brooks was preaching. I don't know if you know Rice Brooks. He did the purple book or something.
I think he wrote the purple book. Oh, wow. Yeah, that guy.
So he got them up and prophesied over them. And anyway, took them back home the next few days. These kids didn't really want to change. Mm-hmm. So I went over there to their house, invited me to their house, and they're, smoking their marijuana and stuff. And said, Phil, join us.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm not here to join you. Mm-hmm. You know. Anyway, so I went home and I just started interceding for these kids.
Wow.
And as I'm interceding, the presence of God just came into the room and I was screaming. I didn't know. I had no concept of deliverance.
Yeah.
I'm screaming on the floor, wailing. And in my mind's eye, I look up and the hand of God's coming through the ceiling. Wow. And the hand of God comes through the ceiling and I'm like, my mouth opens.
Yep.
And the hand goes down.
Yep.
And I can physically feel the hand of God going into my stomach and ripping out. And I'm like, I'm in agony. Go,
Wow.
It took me months and months to realize deliverance. I was having deliverance.
Yes.
Because I just was obedient.
My gosh, Phil. Let's take a pause because that's just like an epic testimony. There are so many things that I think are super encouraging about that because, first of all, I think it's like it's one thing to read in the Bible and then be like, okay, God, like this is what you said and go and do it. And sometimes that's the way that happens and we've heard that testimony as well. And then sometimes it happens the reverse, like you experience God and then you read about it in the Bible. You're like, oh, and that happened for me with like the gift of tongues. I had no idea what tongues was, never read the book of Acts in my life.
Yeah.
All my friends were going for prayer. I was like, sure, like this is like all I feel is love and peace and all like, you know, I've never felt so loved. And so whatever they're giving, I just want more of it. I don't really care or understand what any of that is. And went down the front and received a gift of tongues. And then you're like, later on you like read it in the book and you're like, okay. So I think it's such a witness to like that the truth of the word of God, like in our small little obedience, like even when we don't understand even what's happening, even when we don't fully understand, like I think a lot of people are like, oh, how do I hear the voice of God? And yet like your testimony is such an encouragement even to that of just God wants us more than we want him, and he wants to lead us more than we even want to be led. And even in witnessing, even in just walking, I'm gonna just gonna say like walking the life that every disciple, like this is the Christ following life, like this is what it looks like. And we don't have to know all the things, we don't to understand, you know, all the theological concepts even of some of this stuff. Yeah. We don't even have to, you know, oh, I've got to memorize the seven scriptures. Okay, great. It's good to have scripture like to use because the power of God rests upon it. But if that's the blocker, like it doesn't need to be. Like he can use anyone. He, we're not qualified by what we've done for him. We're not qualified by how much we know about God. Like he wants to use us in every circumstance and situation.
Yeah. And so most of my early years as a Christian, it was just I was just being obedient to what I felt God was wanting me to do. And the revelation of what was happening, you know, sometimes would come years later.
Yeah, wow.
And it's just, you know, I think we want to understand everything.
Yes.
But we need to be led by the heart, by the Spirit.
Yep.
Very good. And so I got saved that way. And because I got saved that way, I always had the key, like one of the keys in my life, I believe, is that I need to go out.
Yeah.
I need to go out on the street. And so I've always gone out.
Yeah.
And so even though my personality is more sort of introverted.
Yeah. Come on, preach it, Phil. Preach it.
You know, I really felt that, you know, I had to push myself out there.
Yes.
And so, you know, I would commit. Like we go to Westfield for about 5 or 6 years. I committed to every Friday I'm going to Westfield. Mm-hmm. Whoever wants to come with me, come with me, and I'll take Paul and Jess. Yeah,
that kids. There is kids. Some of his kids. Yep.
And you know, other people from the church we were going to, they'd come and you know, and so we'd do that every week, Or else I'd, you know, somebody say we go witnessing. So we just walk around the streets and find people to talk to and to pray for.
I love that you say that, like, it's not your personality default, because I think that's also, like, such a blocker sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm the same. Like, my people might be, like, shocked and surprised, but I am an introvert. Like, I recharge by myself. Like, I love to take a five-day holiday by myself. No issue at all with that.
Yeah.
I love people, and I think that's where God gets me. Like, he reveals his heart for his people, and it's like, then your personality default doesn't matter at all.
Yeah.
And that he can use all of us, no matter what, like, you know, whatever our personality type was, whatever, even our history with him, like the way that he pairs us with different people to share. It's wild how it's like, oh my gosh, it was like the perfect messenger for the message for this particular person. So I think it's really important for people to know, like, whatever your personality type is, however you like feel about it. Cause I hear that a lot in your story as well. Like, oh, it's not like there's a conviction that comes that's greater than the feeling of like, oh, I need to share about Jesus, even if I don't feel like bold in it necessarily at the beginning.
I know for my own Christian health,
I
need to be sharing Jesus.
So good, Phil.
And if I'm not, you know, like, I'd get so excited I won't sleep at night. I'd be just listening to preaching all night. And anyway, maybe I could share a story of
absolutely. You can do whatever you like on this podcast.
Well, we'd go down to Westfield and talk to the kids up. You know, and the kids would come and catch their buses and stuff. Yep. And so there'd be a lot of kids around.
Yes.
And so we just, I don't know which story to tell you. No, anyway, there's kids around and we're talking to kids. Anyway, I saw a young guy sitting with his girlfriend or whatever. They're just sitting on the bus stop and he's got his hand all bandaged up.
Wow.
And so I said, oh, what'd you do to your hand? I like to demonstrate the gospel before I tell them who did it. So that's what I do.
Love that.
So, I think Luke 10:9, where it says, heal the sick and then tell them the kingdom of God is within your reach or at hand.
Yeah.
So that's the way I like to share the gospel. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so this guy's got his hand all bandaged up. I said, oh, what did you do to your hand? And he just looked at me and shook his head.
Wow.
And I said, why won't he tell me?
Wow.
What did you do to your hand? Just shook his head. I said, has it got any pain? You got any pain in your hand? He said, yes. So I said, in Jesus' name, all pain go. Check it. And he goes, looks at me.
Wow.
I said, is there any pain? He goes, no.
Wow.
No pain. So I said, oh, God bless you. And I went. 2 days later, I go back and I'm witnessing to people, talking to the kids, and this one guy comes up and he's talking to someone and I overhear him talking about me.
Yeah, come on.
So I said, yes. Like, what are you saying? What happened? And he said, oh, do you remember that guy you prayed with the bandage? I go, yeah. I said, what did he do to his hand?
Mm.
He said he was playing with fuel, petrol.
Yeah, wow.
And burnt the skin off his hand. He said, the guy is telling me, he says, you could see the tendons. Whoa. The doctor said that he would have multiple skin grafts.
Yeah, wow.
He said, Phil, when you prayed for him, he went home, took the bandage off, and he had brand new skin.
Wow. Wow.
And again, like, no idea. I've got no idea.
Yeah.
It's just being obedient to pray for people.
Wow.
So I've seen just incredible things like that where, you know, I've seen deaf ears open, I've seen eyes restored.
Yep. I mean, it says in the Bible that, like, these signs will follow those who preach the good news. Like, it is a promise. It is something we can stand on. It's something that we can, you know, in that moment when you pray, it's like you're standing on the truth of Scripture, like the faithfulness of God, that He is who He said He is, that it's not just something that happens in the book of Acts or, you know, that we read about that Paul's doing, but it truly is. It's the when we witness about Jesus and share about who He is, that these signs will follow. It's the power that gives demonstration to that He is who He says He is, that He's loving, that He is real, all of those things. Okay, can I detour a moment? Yeah, sure. I want to go back to you, Barb.
Yes.
So I want to talk about, like, because Phil, you alluded to, like, your kids, bringing them on this whole journey. And I think that's huge as well, because we got a lot of families listening. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we run street teams like on Friday night, but maybe that's not the best time to have your kids going. Or, like, how has that looked like for you as a family with younger kids and just bringing them on the journey? Like, has that always looked like that? Has it always been something that they're like, yes, we'll go and do it? Or has that been something you've had to, like...
I think they've needed a bit of encouragement. I think we probably tried to turn everything into an opportunity. So, you know, we homeschooled. So, yeah, there were opportunities when we went out somewhere. People would ask, why are you people not in school?
And, yep.
You know, and so, yeah, the children learnt to take opportunities just to share what they were learning or why they were... not in school. We've always just tried to make faith part of our lifestyle.
Yes, it is very good. Like,
we never forced them to do, you know, like coming out to Westfield, you know, I'd say to the kids, who wants to come?
Yep.
You know, and you know, Jess was always and you know, Paul will come along and just watch, and that's all he had to do, you know.
Yep. He's receiving of that testimony, like watching, I think, for kids, like, you don't forget when you see a miracle happen, when you see God move, when you see someone receive Christ like that. I mean, those things, they mark you on the inside. So it's very powerful that, like, even as kids, I mean, I was asking your daughter, Jess, like, what that looked like. She's like, oh, we've just always done it. Like, it's always been part of life. Like, it's not, it's always just been something we as a family have done. It's so powerful.
Yeah.
So, Bob, what did it look like for you to share Jesus? Because we exited your story.
Yeah.
You got to uni.
Yeah.
And then you were like, okay, it's not the good works, but it's actually like His love and His mercy and His grace. And you encounter Him there.
Yeah.
And then what did you first sharing Jesus kind of like look like? What did that?
I think I probably took a while to get out of striving. I remember trying to do a Bible study and I really didn't have much knowledge myself. So I advertised on doing a Bible study in uni and a couple of people would turn up and then they have these curly questions that I didn't have answers to. So I felt really out of my depth. But I felt like it was important just to be obedient, even so though good. I didn't necessarily reap any rewards at the time.
Yeah.
The other thing I think about is just, you know, that God's always challenged me to be faithful to sow even without seeing results.
And, that's very important.
And the thing with Phil going and sharing testimonies at Westfield is a lot of the times that, you know, kids would be disinterested or mock, but we've run into people that he or we have shared with, you know, 10, 15 years later, and they say, you're that guy, aren't you?
Wow.
And they remember, even though at the time they weren't very receptive. Mm-hmm. And so that's always encouraged me. Yeah, it doesn't matter what a person's response looks like at the time. You don't know what's going on in their heart. And as long as you're faithful to keep sowing, that's all that matters.
Very important. It is. You never know what God's doing behind the scenes. You never know, like, what He does the next day or what He does. And when you hear people testify as to how they met Jesus, often you see that in their testimony of, like, there was this person that had, you know, he would ask me to, you know, come to church and I'd say no 1,000 times. And then, you know, fast forward 10 years and I remembered this. And then, so I said yes. And you just never know. I think obedience is really so key. I remember the first time, like, I heard about, there's a thing called the Engel scale, which is like, a line of faith of, like, I know nothing about Jesus. I've said yes to Jesus, you know, I'm fully following the Lord kind of, like, thing. And the whole point of the scale is just to be like, wherever you intersect someone's life, it's like, it's one more step towards the Lord. Like, even just someone hearing, you know, Pastor Shree was talking about it once when she was equipping and she was saying, like, even just someone hearing about Jesus today, is one more trigger in their mind of like, oh, maybe this is something, like maybe there is a Jesus, like maybe there is something to be considered. There is like a living God. And we were hearing a testimony of one of the women at church when she was baptized a couple of years ago. And she's like, I just thought Christians were like a died out species. She's like, I didn't even know like there was actually Christians today. Like she's like, I thought that was an old thing that happened ages ago. And she's like, and then someone started talking to me about Jesus. And she's like, what? Like there's Christ followers here, it like in Melbourne. She's living in Melbourne. Like she's not living in some back end somewhere in, you know, remote Amazon.
Yeah.
So wherever it is, like wherever the seed is that God is asking you to sow, I think like just marking our success, not as like, okay, we get to say the sinner's prayer or we see the miracle happen, but knowing that we've been obedient to the prompting of God. Because I feel like on the day of reckoning, like that's all he's going to ask us for. He's not going to be like, you know, he's going to say, I think, who knows what all of God's going to say. But I think part of it is calling us to an obedience, like what he's asked us to do, irrelevant of the outcome. But did we, were we obedient to what he asked us?
Yeah.
I tell you another story.
Yeah, please do, Phil.
I thought it was a failure, but it ended up not being a failure. And because at our workplace, we go do gardens and stuff. And,
yes.
And so I go to this house that we've been doing for a while, and the husband's home. And I think, oh, that's strange. Why is the husband home? Anyway, the following time we go back, the husband's home. So I go, like, how's it going, Tony? Like, what's going on? He goes, oh, I've got this brain disease and it's slowly eating away at me and I'd start to lose mobility. And so, can I just tell you a few stories? So I'll tell him a few testimonies and he's listening and going, oh, can I pray for you? Sure, yeah, pray for me. So I pray for him. and so then, so he would... He got excited about these stories that I'm telling him, and I'm praying for him, but we didn't really see much happening. Anyway, he told his sister, and he told his brother-in-law, and so they come over, and we started Bible studies. So him and his wife and his sister and her husband, we'd going over there, and we did Bible studies, and we'd do Bible studies. I got them saved. We baptized them in their pool.
Wow, come on.
And, you know, and like that was amazing. You know, this was over a couple of years. We would slowly, you know, and unfortunately he passed away. But I would pick him up out of his wheelchair. We would make him walk around his backyard. And even though everyone's telling him, you're not going to, you know, you're going to die, you're going to die. But him and his wife is like, you give us so much hope. We love, you know, we love hearing because you've given us hope.
Wow.
And, you know, that's all we've been called to do. We can't make somebody healed, but we can speak healing. We can release healing.
Yeah.
And it's not something we have to struggle at.
Yes.
It's not something you can build up.
Yeah.
Faith is rest. And what God, my faith is in Jesus, not in me.
That's it.
And so when we, you know, when we minister and pray for people, you know, it's incredible when it happens in front of our eyes.
Yeah.
It, you know, blows us away.
Yeah.
Like when I pray for, I'm going to keep telling it's stories.
Great. I don't worry. Keep going. I'll stop you when you need to.
Okay. Well, I've just been overseas and we're in Myanmar. Went for a mission trip and we're praying for people. I'm praying. Going for house to house, praying for people, and people are getting healed left, right, and center.
Mm.
You know, and being in a third world country, it's like, oh, this happens over here. It doesn't really, you know, doesn't really happen in Australia.
I have so many like people who have come to Christ recently, or like within the last 12 months, like ask me like, why do you see miracles in one place in one country and not in others? Anyway, keep going. We'll get there.
Anyway, you know, when they see a white man come into a, you know, and he's not trying to get anything out of them. He's just praying for them.
Yes.
In it. Yeah. So I see all these miracles and I'm thinking, oh yeah, that happens over there. And then I get back home and Barb says, oh, I've got this new job. And I'm thinking, I'm tired. I don't want to go to the new job. Come on. I made an appointment. We've got to go do this job.
Good, Barb. Good.
So we go to do this job and Barb's pushing the lawnmower and I'm whippersnapping.
So they have a gardening business, guys. For those who haven't caught on yet, they have a gardening business. And small spoiler alert, your daughter did tell me the whole one of the reasons that you have a gardening business is so you can meet lots of people and share Jesus. Is that true?
It's part of it.
It's a definite byproduct.
Yeah, okay, continue. Mowing lawns, yep.
And so I'm whippersnapping this guy's yard and he's watching me and he's got his hand on his elbow and he's going like this. Yep. And he looks at me and he says, I used to do the whippersnapping. He said, but I've got arthritis.
Right.
And I sort of look at him and the thought comes, go pray for him, Phil. It's like, I'll do it after. I keep going, no, do it now. All right. I turn the whippersnapper off. I go up and I said, grab his elbow. So I'm going to pray for you. He goes, what? So I'm going to pray for you. In Jesus' name, all arthritis go. Check it.
Check it.
He goes, oh, this is a pain. So bad. And because I'd just been overseas, everyone else was getting healed. Why aren't you getting healed?
Yes.
So I said, what? Come here. In Jesus' name, I command the pain to go. Check it. He goes, who are you?
Yeah, wow.
And I went, who am I? Oh, I'm the gardener. And he's like, wow. Yeah. But all the pain's gone. Wow. Like, all the pain's gone. Mm-hmm. And so I keep whippersnipping. He comes out again and he's gone. All the pain's gone. All the pain's gone. And then I hear the front door open. And this guy comes out the front door, all bent over, this other guy.
Wow.
With a walking stick, and he's twisted and he's bent over. And he doesn't say anything, this guy. And the guy that got healed with the elbow, he says, oh, this is my friend. He's had a sciatic operation.
Okay.
And it's been like this for 6 weeks.
Wow.
So he comes, he must have went in and told him. So this guy's come out. So he's come out and he's all bent over. He's got his walking stick. And I put my hand on his back and I said, in Jesus' name, all pain, go, be healed in Jesus' name. And that's all it is. I didn't go on for hours.
Yes, come on.
It's really short.
Come on.
And he just was all bent over. He's got his walking stick in his hand. He just standing up straight.
Wow.
Gave the walking stick to his mate and took off at the backyard doing star jumps.
Wow.
And running and jumping and just going berserk.
Oh, Jesus.
And I'm looking at him. I'm crying. Yeah. I look at his mate. His mate's crying.
Wow.
And we're just stunned.
Wow.
And
what happens to them then, Phil? Like, what process? Like, okay, they've encountered Jesus. They may not have known. Like, obviously, you're sharing like that. This is who it is. Like, it's not Phil. You're not encountering Phil. You're encountering Jesus.
Yeah.
Where to from there? Like, what do you do with someone on their discipleship journey? Like, from there in this situation.
Well, it just like a lot. I give them information to contact me.
Yep.
And then. There could be a little bit of follow-up, or sometimes there's no follow-up, but they've got the information if they want to.
They can engage.
Yeah. And so I've had people come back and get saved and all kinds of things later.
Yeah.
But at the time, it's like the miracle just cuts through all natural thinking.
Yes.
And just cuts in and says, God, you know, God's will.
Yes.
Anyway, so later on, I've met other family members of them. And even though I encouraged them to get back, let's get back together, they never did.
Yep. That's the trust part. Hey, you've just got to trust the Holy Spirit. Yeah. He's the one that led you to them. He's the one that led Barb to the new gardening job. He's the one that led you to them, and then he'll keep leading them on their journey.
So, you know, I believe that our job is to sow.
Yeah.
And occasionally we'll reap.
Yes.
But mainly we've been sowing. Like Barb had said before, we just keep sowing and we'd see people 10 years later. You know, I've seen people come back. Look, I'm still healed, you know.
Wow.
10 years later, I'm still healed. Wow.
I just really want to honor you guys, and I'm going to get you to pray, and I actually would love for you to pray into just the release of sign, like the gift of miracles with the preaching of gospel. But I just really feel to honor you guys because I feel the honor of the Lord on you, because we're in a moment in time in our nation where the harvest is really ripe. Like, you share with people, I feel like, at the moment. And maybe 5-7 years ago, you would get a lot of, nah, I'm good, mate. Like, nah, I'm not, you know, don't, religion's not for me. Like, you're all good. But it seems to be at the moment that when you share with people or ask, like, can I pray for you? There is such an openness and a receptivity to the gospel. Yeah. Like, the harvest in our nation is truly ripe. And I think it's even part of the reason why Pastor Sri has this on her heart for this time. But I just feel like the honor of the Lord to honor you guys for your sowing, for many years of sowing, like in our city and in Australia, because I know that there's many that we will see a reaping in this time. But you know, it'll be crazy to hear the testimonies of, you know, this person sowed and this person sowed and this person sowed. And so I just want to honor you for the years of obedience in sowing, and who knows when we get to heaven what harvest we will see as part of that. So, all right, we could share testimonies the entire time, yeah. But I would love you to pray for everyone listening, just for a boldness to witness. And I think a boldness to be obedient, because I think a lot of time the Holy Spirit prompts us and just signs and wonders that would follow to testify to who Jesus really is. Is that okay?
Yeah.
That's fine. Awesome. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord. Well, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity just to, well, we really want to encourage people.
Yes, God.
That the greater one lives in them.
Thank you,
Father. Thank you, that Lord. There's nothing else that we need. We have you. We're living temples. Yes, Lord, wherever we go, the church goes.
Thank you,
Lord. And so, Father, I pray, Father, that that people would just step out, even if they're just nervous or fearful, but they would step out in obedience to just share the love of God.
Thank you,
Lord, even just to ask somebody about their problem, about their sore arm or their leg, or just ask them, and they'll open up and tell you all their problems. Father, I thank you that we take every opportunity. Yes. There's many opportunities around, Father. Mm. There's many opportunities. Once our eyes are open, I pray that people's eyes will be open to the opportunities that are around them, Father, and that they'll step out and just pray a simple prayer, just command whatever the problem is to leave in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you for boldness to step out. I thank you, Lord God, that when we step out, that's when we see the power of God demonstrated. Lord, even in with our own eyes, we'll see the kingdom of God manifest.
Yes, yes.
Lord God, and Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord God, for the seeds that are being sown and the seeds that are going to be sown, Lord God, and the harvest. I thank you, Lord God, that you said to pray the Lord of the harvest to send workers out. And so, Father, I pray that you would send workers out onto the streets, workers out into their workplace, wherever they go. I pray, Lord God, that your kingdom will come and miracles, signs, and wonders will follow in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Thank you so much, Phil. Thank you so much, Barb, for coming. Thanks. Your lives are truly worthy to be followed and truly an example of just what it looks like to be a normal Christian. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. And we want to hear your testimonies about maybe you've never shared and you've been inspired by just the testimony of Barb and Phil today. And so we want to hear. We want to hear what happened when you stepped out, when you sowed a seed. So you can DM us on Instagram. You can email us in. You can send us a testimony through numa.church/pray. But we want to keep the testimonies rolling because they're so inspiring. It releases something. It releases a boldness. It releases a capacity to share about Jesus. And so we want to hear. We want to hear what it looks like in your life, and we want to hear what's changed for you as Jesus has stirred something on the inside of us. But that's it for today. Thank you so much, guys, and we will see you next time.